going to give you this. I think you gotta use this clicker. There we go. So you just kind of tap like this.
Thank you, sir.
I got it.
Oh, that's the thrill hole? You have to go back.
We're just gonna
do no, it here. He wants to do it the other way.
You got it. No, you know, we didn't record thrill hole. I got it. You're good. I got it.
You're gonna get beat
Thank
up.
Thank you, Mo. So it's recording now. You're good to go.
Okay. Everyone,
thank you so much. Cool. For coming and sharing a little bit of the word with us. I'm really excited about that. And we're all excited about this, man.
Cool.
God bless you.
Thank you, man. Now I'm really nervous because I'm not good with technology that well when it comes to, like, recording stuff. Just like I'm nervous with adults, but it's okay. Hey, good morning, everybody. How you guys doing?
Good.
You guys good? Cool. Now, some of you guys may remember me from a while back. Some of you may not. I'm assuming if some of you are like me, you kind of go through the week, you kind of forget things, so I'll reintroduce myself. Tyrone McMorris, I'm the founder and executive director of Casino Road Kids Ministries, and when I came last time, I shared with you guys about what our organization does to work with elementary kids on Casino Road. We do homework programs and Bible clubs so that kids come to know that they're valued by God, they're loved by Him, that they are smart enough to complete school, and they can be leaders in their community, and so I've been on Casino Road since 1999, serving kids, working with them. Organizations have been going on since 2008, and so we're doing our thing. You lost something, Zeka?
I did. The controller.
Oh, this right here?
Thank you. Let me help you with
this. There you go. So yeah, we've been at that since 2008. And so I know Scott's not here, so I can talk about him a little bit since he's not here, but I won't talk about him a lot. But no, me and Scott, we've been hanging out for, man, seems like 8 months now, getting to know him. And as I get to know him more, and then when I was here with you guys, I come to know that you guys are the church grace and mercy, man. You guys are very caring and loving. And that's shown by, man, the great work you guys are doing with partnering with other agencies like REST, Casino Road Kids Ministries, Every Gospel Mission, serving like that. A few of you come out to cook dinner at Casino Road Kids Ministries twice a month, so that's really cool. And I know you guys love some of the word. And we got the kids in the house today. So that really helps me not be as nervous. And that's cool. And I got a little visual aid for the kids a little bit later. And hopefully it goes well. I took one of your brochures to do my visual aid with them. So we'll see what's going on. So we'll see how they like it. Hey, kids. Hey, kiddos. Hey, what does this look like to you? A paper hat? Yeah, nah. A house, that's right. Looks like a house, right? And so you guys have been in this series here, there's a church in John, and talking about Jesus in the Gospel of John. He likes to do a good job of helping us see how Jesus is God. And one of the stories, kids, John talks about that Jesus says these words that he's going to prepare a place for us to live, a house, right? So, kiddos and adults, how do you get to heaven? Who knows how to get to heaven?
You die.
You die? Yeah, yeah. I love that answer. You raised your hand. What were you gonna say, sweetie?
Me.
You die? Yeah. So, can you get to heaven by taking a? Let's see if I can do this right. I'll tear this there. Adults, what does this kind of look like to you? An arrow?
An arrow.
Yeah, it goes up. So a rocket? Yeah. And so, you know, where's heaven at? Heaven up high, we point to above and we think, hey, we can get to heaven in a rocket, right? It can go blast up in the air in the sky and we get there. But the problem with a rocket is it won't get there. Why won't it get there? Why won't the rocket get to heaven? What does a rocket need to fuel itself, to take off? What does it need?
Gas.
Yeah, heaven's up there. That ain't going to take enough gas to get there. So the only way that we can get to heaven is the cross. through Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. And so, and Jesus talked to his disciples about that, and he talked to his disciples in chapter 16. He starts to talk to them a bit about the fact that he's getting ready to leave and he's getting ready to go to heaven. So we're gonna finish up in chapter 16 today, and just did that little visual wave for you guys. But before I move on, like a couple of months ago, before we started moving, kids, and you may want to see this too, because this is kind of ancient, okay? I was reorganizing my bookshelf because I had too many of these. Had too many of these. Kids, do you guys know what this is? You probably don't even know what this is. It's a box, huh? Yeah, it seems like a box, but it's not. You know, what's this? What's this, adults? Yeah, VHS, cassette tape. You know, I was reorganizing. I had too many of these. I got a lot of these, and all these are my NBA basketball games that I like to record. And I've been recording NBA games. I got like games from back in 1999. To like 2009, I'm probably the cat that keeps Walgreens open, that with their videotapes, you know, going in and buying them all the time. I'm the guy that keeps them in stock. But you know, while I was throwing some away, I couldn't get rid of this one tape. This one tape I couldn't get rid of was important to me, because a good friend of mine, her name was Crystal San Antonio, she made it for me to help me when I found out that we were moving from San Antonio to Seattle, Washington. Now, I grew up in San Antonio, Texas. That's where I'm from. That's where I was born. I'm a native Texan, the greatest country in the United States of America. And so when my parents told me at the age of 17, hey, we're leaving San Antonio, your comfort zone, Tyrone, where your relatives are, where your friends are, the school you've been at, the neighborhood you've been at since you've been in third grade, and we're moving somewhere we've never been before, I was shocked. And so my friend Crystal said, she's gonna do a project for me. She was gonna make a tape. And I was like, whatever. Well, she actually did. She mailed it to me. And this tape that she made for me brought me a lot of comfort. And you say to yourself, Tyrone, how did a tape bring you comfort? I was like, well, it brought me comfort because she recorded some of my friends at school. She recorded the pep rallies. She recorded some basketball games, things that I was familiar with. Yeah, I play basketball. That's what, you know, us black folks do. But play basketball on the team, and all my friends were saying, hey, Tyrone, we miss you. We love you. And I was like, yeah, that's really cool. This tape served as a tool to bring me encouragement. Now, in John 16, Jesus, knowing that he's getting ready to go to heaven, knowing that he's getting ready to go to the cross, he starts to tell his disciples things like this. He says, hey, when are you guys going to betray me? They're like, what? You guys are going to leave me. I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to die and you're never going to see me. Now, these guys that Jesus has been walking with, talking to, hanging out with for three years, this kind of rocked them. Just like my parents rocked my world when they told me I'm leaving San Antonio. Because they watched Jesus day in and day out heal people, speak to the crowds, do miracles, cast out demons, pray over people. They watched Jesus do that. And they watched Jesus take on the religious leaders, like I said, and that brought them peace and comfort. And Jesus saying, I'm leaving you, was troubling. But Jesus, he tried to assure them. He said, look, I'm going to send the Comforter to you, the Holy Spirit. As you guys discussed with Pastor Scott, I believe last Sunday, and a couple Sundays before, and you discussed that too in chapters 13 and 14, Jesus talked to him about the Holy Spirit. And in chapter 16, verse 1, it probably ain't going to have verse 1 up there yet, but verse 1, Jesus says these things in verse 1. He says, I have said these things to keep you from stumbling. And then when you jump down to verse 33, he says this, I have said this so that you may have peace. Verse 33, he says that. So I think from verses 2 into 33, we can find this, that Jesus wants to help us to stand firm and have peace in our life. So this morning we're going to talk about why we as Jesus' disciples should not be troubled, and we should have faith. So the title of my talk today is called Be Encouraged. So I'm going to start off reading in chapter 16, verse 25. It says this, I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say that I will ask the Father on your behalf. The Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into this world, and now I'm leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So I'd like to share with you guys two reasons why we should be encouraged in these words of Jesus. Now, before I move on, I got to let you guys know something about me. Pastor Scott and I are very different guys, okay? One, my sermons are pretty short. So you guys are going to be shocked when I'm done and we pray and I'm over, okay? I told Scott when we were meeting, he's like, take as much time as you want. I'm like, dude, look, all I need is 20 minutes. And he's like, really? I'm like, yeah, that's all I need is 20 minutes. He's like, well, that's probably cool. The kids are going to be in the service. I'm like, no, that's just how I talk. I just try to go 20 minutes, brother. And so he's like, okay. Because I was like, you know, I can get my Southern pastor thing on and be huffing and puffing and be up here for about an hour and a half, but I don't want to do that, okay? I ain't in Texas no more. So, and then second is I'm just short. I'm shorter than Scott. He's taller than me. But that's the other reason why I like to be short. So I got two points, just two basic points that I just kind of sense God speaking to me as I was reading through this. So why should we be encouraged by the words of Jesus here? So one, we should take courage that God the Father in heaven, he loves us. Now, Jesus declares God loves us, and he showed it by doing this, by giving his spirit to us. See, the words that Jesus speaks was speaking to the disciples, they were kind of like, Jesus, you speaking all this figurative stuff to us, we don't get it. You're talking in Proverbs, and Jesus like, look, I know that. But look, I got to leave and go to heaven so that the Holy Spirit can come down, and he's going to make things clear to you. He's going to confirm things to you. He's going to be your teacher. He's going to remind you of the words that I've spoken. He's going to enlighten the word of God to you. See, the Holy Spirit's our teacher. See, when we're spending time in the word of God and we come across those complex passages and we're like, man, what does that mean? And we're talking to our friends about it. You know, you may call up Pastor Scott and he starts talking to you. He's like, well, let me tell you about what this theologian says. Because you guys know Pastor Scott. He likes to talk about theologians, right? And so, tell you all that. Or you just still don't understand it. And you start praying. The Holy Spirit opens up your mind to the word, opens up your heart, and you're like, oh, I get it. Have you ever had those moments where you're reading a passage and you're just kind of stuck, but then the Spirit whispers to you? You're like, oh, okay. And that's why it was important for Jesus to go. And they were like, but Jesus, though, man, we could touch you. We could touch you. We could ask you to break things down, and you told us here face to face, why do you gotta leave? It's like, because I want all my children to have access to me, to speak to me. See, I'm with you right now physically. This is where I can be in Jerusalem. But for me to die and go to the cross and go to my Father, I can send my spirit, and he can be everywhere, omnipresent. That's a good thing. Amen? That Jesus ain't just kicking it in Jerusalem anymore. He's in Jerusalem. He's in Everett, he's in Alaska, he's in Africa, he's with us. That's good. And, you know, and now we can turn and we can talk to Jesus about anything and ask him any questions. So that's, take heart in that fact that I'm not just limited to this space anymore. I'm going to be with you everywhere you go. So when we look in the book of Acts and we see how the disciples and the apostles traveled to different countries and different places, they had God with them. Jesus was with them through his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit empowered them to do the work. He also talks about the fact that God loves them, and he shows his love, not just from the Holy Spirit, but he shows his love that God will hear their prayers. Because, again, they would go to Jesus, and they say, Jesus, talk to the Father for us, mediate for us. And Jesus would do that. But Jesus says this, that the Father will always be ready to grant their requests and to watch over them like a paternal, with that paternal affection and care, because God loves them that much. And why does God love them? He spells it out and says, hey, God loves you because you guys love me. You obey me. You obey my word. You obey the fact that I am his son. So now we have direct access to God the Father because of what Jesus has done on the cross. When we go back to our cross sample here, we got the fact that we have access to the Father because Jesus died on the cross for us. When we place our faith in the Lord Jesus, we're united with God through Christ. Jesus doesn't have to play that telephone game for us. You know the telephone game. You guys remember that, you know? Be like, hey, Jesus, can you talk to your Father and tell him, hey, I need you to heal my hip. I need him to heal my hip. And then Jesus goes, hey, Father, look. Zach needs you to heal his hip. Can you do that? Zach can go talk directly to the Father. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come before you. I come before you. God, I need you to heal my hip. And we can do that. Have that direct access. And that's really awesome. And he also points out that the Father loves us by Jesus does what he only does well, just the best preacher ever. And he just kind of breaks down the whole mess. He said, look, Jesus said, I came from the Father. I lived among you. I'm about to go to the cross and die. And then I'm going to rise from the grave. And we're like, man, that's the gospel message right there. He came from the Father. He walked among us, the incarnation, died on the cross. He rose from the grave. He's an ever in presence. So we can have peace in this fact, that God loves us, and God showed that love for us by the fact that his son died on the cross for our sins, and death did not defeat his son, that Jesus defeated death and rose from the grave. And we can have peace in that fact and hope in that fact that, man, God is powerful. God is real. So then the second reason why we should be encouraged with Jesus' words is this. He says that God is with you at all times. So Jesus points out this fact, points this out to his disciples, and he gives them a little bit of reality, okay? Now, when I read this, I was kind of like, how is this encouraging, Jesus? Jesus tells his disciples, he says, look, behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me alone. Like, what? Like, Jesus told his disciples, you guys going to leave. You guys going to bail out. You're going to chicken out. You're going to leave me. But he says this. You, my boys, are going to leave me, but I'm never alone because the Father is with me. My Father is with me. So here's what Jesus wants to teach us. He wants to remind us and encourage us this. Look, God is going to walk with me through my trials. Guys, he's with me while they spitting on me, while they whipping me. When you guys leave me, when they hang me on that cross, when I'm in that grave, my Father's with me. My Father's with me. I'm never alone. Jesus goes on to say, too, in this life, and this is a promise. He says, in this life, we will face tribulations. We face trouble. We face persecution. We're going to face hatred. Insults, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Jesus overcome the systems of this world. Jesus has overcome the grave, death, and he's like, be encouraged in this fact. So why should I be encouraged in this fact? See, and I like, we go through some trials. You know, man, I go through trials like Jesus went through, or what some of the other believers around the world are going through, but we go through some trials. We might get disrespect because we're a believer. Or you might go through some family trials, people hating on you because you're a Christian in your family or not showing your respect. We go through things. We may go through some persecution, but here's the beauty of it. God's with us through that. And how should that bring me courage when I'm going through trials? The fact that my God, he hears my prayers. I can speak to him and say, Father God, I'm struggling through this right now. I'm feeling crushed right now, God. I want to give up. I want to quit. See, we got a God who hears and is near. He's mighty to save, as one of those songs that we sing goes. See, when I think about this passage in relation to courage, I think about my circumstances sometimes, and I think about the trials, some of the pains that we may be dealing with. And here's what I remember, that God cares. He cares about me deeply. And that encourages my life. See, when this tape, I go back, I watch this sometimes. And I see my friends, and I hear that I reminisce on high school. And that was important. But the one thing I think about the most, though, is that God cared about me enough to bring me out here to Washington. And San Antonio wasn't all bad. It wasn't horrible. It wasn't like I was getting in trouble. It wasn't like I was thugging. But my heart wasn't in the right place with the Lord Jesus. I wasn't walking right with him. I moved out here, got away from all that noise, that distraction, and God got a hold of me. And he opened up my eyes to a new reality. Like, I thought my life was going to be about basketball. I thought I was going to be in the NBA, even though I can't jump and I'm lazy. But he opened up my heart to children and opened up the door for me to start a ministry. I married, got a family. And so I could take courage in that fact. And every night I prayed, every night when I found out we were going to move to Washington, I prayed. I said, Jesus, please let me stay in San Antonio. Please. I pleaded with God. I promised him any and everything. And some of you say, well, Tyrone, how did that work out for you? You know how it worked out for me? As I was praying, I knew God could hear my prayers. And even though it didn't seem like he answered my prayer, he answered my prayer. He helped me to remember that he's my God and he's willing to listen to me. And through all that, he helped reshape my heart that way. Tyrone, my plans aren't for you to be in San Antonio. My plans are for you to be out here blessing other kids in Everett. A community that people don't really care about much. A community that I got a heart for. And I want to use you to do that. And I'm like, man, okay, I get it. So I take comfort in the fact that Jesus is with me every day, that His Spirit reminds me of His words, that His Spirit leads me in the right direction to go, that His Spirit gives me clarity, His Holy Spirit helps me be patient. How many of you guys like praying for patience? Yeah, see, nobody likes praying for patience. People used to always tell me, don't pray for patience, God will give it to you. But hey, it's one of the fruits of the Spirit, so I think it's a good thing, right? Praying for peace, He gives a direction. God listens to us more than we think. But God wants to speak to us more than we think as well when we just sit and listen. So what's going to bring you comfort in life? What's going to bring you comfort in life? Remembering the fact that you got a God who loves you enough to die for you. And the more that we get into His Word and connect with Him on a daily basis or how often as you can, you're going to be reminded of His love. And you're also going to be reminded of the things that the Lord Jesus wants to use you to do in your community and wherever you are. So may God bless you. May He keep you. Make His face shine upon you. And I love you guys. Thanks for having me out. God bless you.